If you haven't tackled your holiday shopping yet, no worries. Just go to Uncommon Goods. They have unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Some of my favorite things are steel outdoor citronella lanterns that you can personalize, and fishing pole-inspired marshmallow roasters. I'd use them for my wood-burning fireplace. Whatever your choices are, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. If you'd rather give an experience, you can find those too. They're more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways. Tarot card reading, cooking and mixology, gardening, and so much more. Plus, with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. To date, they've donated more than $3 million. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray. That's uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. The parent-child relationship. Sometimes it's complicated. Even as parents and children grow older, and especially if new romantic partners enter the picture. But those ties that bind us need not feel restrictive. They can provide just the right amount of support at just the right time. Love is a family affair. That's coming up next on Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi. Dating apps are so ubiquitous, it's hard to remember that once upon a time, not too long ago, couples met in other ways.
I'm just old enough. We met old school. We met in a nightclub.
That's Sydney. She's in her mid-40s, and she lives in Atlanta with her husband and two daughters. Up until recently, Sydney had no experience with online dating. But then, Mom Jennifer moved to town. Jennifer's in her early 70s.
I actually raised my son in Tampa, Florida, and then once he graduated and went to college, I relocated back to Los Angeles, where I ended up dating and marrying one of my old high school friends. And didn't quite work out as anticipated, so I ended up moving back to Atlanta with my daughter. Since then, you know, my son has relocated to Los Angeles, where he is married and has two beautiful boys. And so I fly back now, back and forth between Atlanta and Los Angeles.
I actually had an episode, we called it Boomerang Love, and it's very common for older people to reconnect with someone from their past.
Oh, I believe it. And how has that worked out for them?
That was my question in my head. I was like, what's the success rate on those?
Well, you tell me, Jennifer, from your perspective.
But I'm sure there are those out there where it's just been a blessing. So I can't really, you know, use my experience as anything to tie any kind of outcome to. So,
and that is my mom in an essence, a hopeless romantic.
I guess for some people, it is easy to go back and pick up from where you left off because of the initial knowing each other so well. You know, it's easy. And you think that that's the way it's going to be. And especially at the age that we ended up getting married. How difficult can it be? We have no children. You know, I mean, it's got to be smooth sailing. Well, for me, it just wasn't the case. And I was actually with them for 13 years. Well, actually, it was 11 years. I'm sorry. 11 years.
Oh, that's a good go.
That's what I said. I was like, you gave it a try.
I felt like when I moved here, I had some work I needed to do on myself. So I had to go back and learn to love who I was again. And so I did that for about two and a half years. And so that was my journey. And I felt like I just wasn't ready to look at even getting involved in a new relationship at that point. So then when I decided that that's something that I might, well, actually, I had met, I guess, a couple of guys just on a day-to-day basis, you know, walking in the park or, as my daughter loves to say it, Costco.
Hello, but, Costco. All true. All true.
And they ended up being, you know, good relationships, but wasn't really what I was looking for. So I thought, well, what's the next step? Let's try dating online. And my daughter decided to help out with that.
I see her every day. Like, I stop by either on my way to work, my way home from work. So I see my mother at least 5 out of the 7 days of the week. We are incredibly close. If I don't see her, we probably talk at least 3 times a day. And so I was aware of her wanting to start this journey towards companionship, right? Not necessarily remarriage, but this idea of like having someone to travel with, having someone to have dinners with and spend time with. And I was like, I have friends who have kind of started this online dating journey. Folks that I started working with that went from work colleagues to friends that I spend time with and have around my family, and I was, who I know are pretty heavy into the online dating. And I was like, listen, I've got 2 folks that can help steer our ship. It can't be me because I've never done it, but I certainly know how to recruit the right help to launch us appropriately.
Oh, I love your manager, your online dating manager. Okay. So, and when you say you were prompted to do this, Jennifer, you had never been online before. Was it really the Golden Bachelor that persuaded you to do this?
I'm not sure it was the Golden Bachelor that persuaded me to do it, but I did, in watching it, think, well, I mean, if it can work for them, then surely there should be some way. And also, I had a couple of girlfriends who had actually already started. And so they would talk to me about some of their, you know, connections and stuff. And so I thought, well, if they can give it a try, I can as well. Although their connections have, they've been pretty short term. So nothing that has really blossomed into like a long term relationship.
Okay. So tell me how this sort of transpired, that Sydney, you're now helping your mom figure out the apps.
Well, she mentioned that she wanted to get on the apps, and I was like, listen, I've got 2 crusaders that I can have come over and help us set up a dating profile. And so that's exactly what happened. I called my 2 girlfriends and I was like, listen, my mom wants to set up a dating app. Come help us figure out what pictures, what to say, what questions to answer. And these 2 friends are absolute dears and jumped at the chance as soon as I threw it out there. And that's kind of how it came about.
Oh, no, are they around your age or are they younger?
No, they're younger. They're actually both turning 30 this year. So much younger. Yeah.
Yeah, but they had the experience
exactly.
of the apps. Oh, I love this. Yeah, this was like a team effort. I love
it. Generational.
So can you take me back a little bit to like that first time you all got together?
Well, there was liquor involved. I was like, Leofan, you're going to have to feed us and you're going to have to liquor us up a little bit. All right. And that's what she did. Mom laid out quite a nice like charcuterie spread and we got the wine flowing. So we tried to make it fun, right? Because it's supposed to be kind of fun. I mean, it's serious, but then it's also it's life and it's the totality of the experiences. So let's make it fun.
It was actually really fun. Just listening to the younger two talk about their experiences as well. It was, it's interesting. I said, oh, well, I guess we all have the same problems in every generation, you know? So,
well, that's what I was going to ask. Did they find anything, I don't know, odd or unusual about your dating pool for the older? Okay, let me back up a little bit. What was your dating pool?
Well, initially, I hadn't put a deal breaker on age.
I did. I put a deal breaker on age. I did. I put a hard line deal breaker on age. I was like, we're not going to date anyone that would fall into my dating pool. Okay.
So we had to go back and change that.
Okay. In all seriousness, would you have wanted to date somebody who's younger than your daughter?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. Have I dated Younger than me, yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, the two other individuals that I had mentioned, they were both younger.
All right. So you put a parameter on the age. Can you give me an idea of what that was?
I think we decided like 58 to 75 or maybe 77. I already had photos. They went through and took a look at the photos and figured out which ones would probably be the best. So I left that decision up to them, but I had picked out probably about 15 or 20 photos that they could have selected from.
And I think when we were looking at the photos, trying to figure out which ones to use, it was important that they were current, right? Like that they look like mom. And so that there's no like shock and awe or mystery, nothing posted from like 1986. Like, no, all the photos were within the last 6 months. This is what she looks like. These are the things that she enjoys doing, so that it could really tell a true story of who she is.
Yeah, I'm kind of laughing because my son, a few years ago, for my Mother's Day present, he and his then fiance created a Bumble profile for me, and he just grabbed photos off my Facebook page. But I'm like, sweetheart, these pictures, some of them are like 5 or 6 years old. And he was like, well, you still look like that. And I thought, oh, he's my son. He doesn't understand.
That's love. You guys are eternally youthful in our eyes.
Yeah, but was it, Cindy, was it hard or a kind of a weird switch seeing your mom, considering your mom and how you know your mom as a person on a dating site?
It was a little wild. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, the mom that I know has always been married or partnered. And so this idea that she was going to be on an app and like quite literally combing through profiles of men, I'm like, what is happening? But then, you know, there's also part of me too that's like, if she wants companionship, then let's not sit back and wait till it finds you, right? Like, let's be proactive.
Oh, so easy for you to say.
I know. As someone who's been married for almost 15 years, yes. I'm like, oh, go do it.
Okay, so you had your friends over. You're having a fun little party. You got the pictures. You got the profiles. And then did you sort of just turn it over to Jennifer? Or Jennifer, did you need some hand-holding, like with the winnowing process?
Well, it's interesting because I guess the first night I didn't check. The next morning when I got up and checked, I had a couple of likes. So then I end up texting my daughter going, what do you do with the likes? And, you know, how are you supposed to handle that? So then we created a little text chat group.
We called it the Hinge group chat.
Yeah.
It included the two younger girls, as well as my daughter and myself. So then we go in on that and we go, what do you do when you get a like? And, you know, so we, anytime I had a question or whatever, I could go in and text and get that figured out.
When we created the group chat, it was like the idea that everything needs a little bit of support, right? That things grow with nurturing and tending. And so we created a little bit of support and community that we could utilize. Like, what? How do I respond to this message? What do I say? This and that, so that it could offer, you know, mom some support on the journey.
I love everything about this. And I think your friends might have a career.
A little side gig, right? A little hustle. Yeah, for sure, right?
Or maybe it will motivate the, you know, in my audience, we've got, you know, people who have children who have younger friends who could maybe help us all out here. Because I remember the first time I went online, it was like, this is awful. It's like being at a singles bar, but it's not your neighborhood. And, you know, you don't know anybody. So
it's still scary. Yeah, it's, you know, even after you make the connections, it's then getting to know them and doing your dates and doing all of that. So, but it's getting out of your comfort zone, which is what I think a lot of people are willing to do now. You know, in order to find love, you know, you've got to take those steps. You can't just sit back and think it's just going to come to you. It won't happen.
How is it working out?
There are two currently that I'm seeing. So we'll see how that goes.
So you progressed from the talking to the app to meeting them in real life.
Yes. One I've had a couple of dates with, and we, you know, set a third date up. And The other I just recently met, and we got offline as well, but mainly through texting and talking on the phone, and planning to meet with them tomorrow.
Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting because I personally need to get comfortable with the fact we're supposed to be dating more than one person at a time, you know, until we become committed. And so I know I have made the mistake in the past, and I think a lot of my listeners have. You meet one person and you put all your eggs in that person basket. And then, but you shouldn't. You should have like
all the eggs in all the baskets until you have the discussion of monogamy. Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So at what point, Sydney, are you going to want to say, Mom, I want to meet him or I want to meet them?
Interesting question.
I know. I historically, I've always let her kind of drive the train. So I think I'm going to let that happen this time, too. My biggest thing is that, you know, that she's safe, obviously, and that she feels supported. But I think, you know, if she gets to a place where she realizes this person makes her happy and that the things they do are an added value to her life, well, then, yeah, I'm going to want to meet them.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, when would you feel comfortable introducing Sydney to someone?
I think whenever the individual feels comfortable. I mean, I wouldn't want to put somebody in the position of introducing them to my family if, in fact, they weren't comfortable with that at that point.
Are you interested? Okay, I'm going to just ask all the questions. Would you ever think of remarrying or living together with someone 24/7? Sydney's shaking her head. No way.
We are done with the marriages.
We
have wrapped up the marriages.
Okay, wait a minute.
However...
Okay, so back up for just a second. I know you had a marriage to your high school or old childhood friend that went south. Was that, if you don't mind me asking, how many times you've been married? It's okay.
Must you?
It's okay. Believe me, it's okay. It's okay.
Well, actually, yeah, I've been married 3 times.
3 times. Okay. That's no, I mean, it's cool. Sydney, is that why you're saying that she's done with the marriages from your perspective?
I think so. I think partnership and companionship. Do you have to have a marriage to do those things? I don't think so.
Okay, so Sydney says that her mom is done with marriage. Jennifer, what do you say?
I'm still open. I, like she says, I am a hopeless romantic. And so I will never rule out that that would not occur.
I don't want to stir up any trouble, but I do think it's interesting that Sydney is 100% behind her mother finding romantic companionship, but she's thumbs down on marriage. As for Mom Jennifer, she's leaving the door open to tying the knot. I have to say, I respect her optimistic outlook. Jennifer also says she's happy with the dating app she's on now, but she may check out another one just to cover more bases. And while Jennifer was really nervous to put herself out there, she's happy she took the plunge. Next, we'll hear about a widower whose reflections on marriage guided his daughter through her own romantic journey. That's after the break. It's that time of year for gift giving and for goal setting. Know what fits both categories? Learning a new language with Rosetta Stone. It's the trusted language learning program for 30 years, available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. They offer 25 languages with fast acquisition designed for long-term retention. Plus, the built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation. Rosetta Stone is also convenient. Learn anytime, anywhere, on your own schedule. And here's an amazing value. A lifetime membership offers access to all 25 language courses. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Dating While Gray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life.
Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving. I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony. And there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. If you like what you've seen with my headshots through the years, you can thank one of my college friends.
I'm Jennifer, 62 years old. Okay, Dad, so why don't you say your name? You just say Herb.
Hi, this is Herb.
Jen's a professional photographer. Her 92-year-old father lives with her. Herb's health is declining and speaking has become difficult. But Herb has persevered, and so too has Jen. Because living together, that was never the plan. Maybe it was bad luck, bad timing, or maybe it was fate that brought Herb to live with Jen. Now, this story has a few twists and turns, so let me start at the beginning, with Herb and Jen's mom, Jerry. Back in 1999, Jen's parents moved from another state to a college town about 100 miles from Jen's house. Jen's married, has a little kid, and soon she'll be expecting a second child. Herb had recently retired from a long career. He and Jerry had sold the bed and breakfast they'd been running, and they had plans to take advantage of everything their new hometown has to offer. But then Jen's mom is diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. She dies only a few months later, at the age of 64. Of course, Herb is grief-stricken and stunned. They'd been in their new house for only a year. He's still active and healthy, and after 39 years as a husband, he's suddenly not. As a way to process his emotions and figure out a way forward, Herb starts thinking about his marriage and what had made it so fulfilling. He puts his thoughts to paper and he types up a list. He titles it, Requirements for a Successful Long-Term Relationship. There are a total of 13 attributes on the list. Herb writes they're not in any order of priority, but it's important for both partners to possess them to, quote, ensure a successful marriage.
Go ahead, Dad. Take a nice deep breath so you have lots of air in your lungs, okay?
Number one. Strong self-image. I'm important and worth something.
I'm important and worth something. 2, an attempt by both partners to be non-judgmental. 3, strong sense of humor and the ability to laugh at one's own foibles and not to take yourself too seriously.
4, the self-confidence that you can do almost anything and indeed attempt it.
Great, that was good. The self-confidence that you can do almost anything and indeed attempt it.
Herb gives copies of the list to Jen and her siblings. Jen tucks it away. Undoubtedly, she recognizes that many of the attributes Herb cites are missing in her own romantic partnership. Jen's marriage has been crumbling for a while now. She and her husband split up in 2002, and at the age of 40 and with 2 little kids, Jen's on her own.
5, a spiritual underpinning. Even though I may question the existence of a God, I feel the presence of a force or power that interacts with something that is receptive.
6, a passion for intimacy and the desire to communicate it. 7, it is important that both partners not be prejudiced toward any group and never refer to a person by a derogatory name and or stereotype description. 8, sensitivity to the feelings of others and not saying something for the sole purpose of degrading or embarrassing another. 9, the ability to compromise over differences and achieve an agreement in which neither partner feels that he or she has been ill-treated.
That's Jen's brother David and sister Jessica reading from their father's list. After Herb writes it, he reconnects with a childhood neighbor. She's now a widow living in California. Let's call her Marie. Marie is about 8 years older than her, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. They start a long-distance relationship and eventually decide they want to make their love official. So they declare their commitment to each other in front of family and friends. That's in early 2003. Herb and Marie decide they'll live half the year in her California home, near her family. And then they'll drive cross-country to spend the other half living in Herb's home, near his family. For almost 2 decades, it works great. And then it doesn't.
10. Mutual respect for each other's space and to recognize that sometimes there's a need to be alone.
It's almost time for Herb and Marie to leave California for their latest cross-country trek. But Herb's driver's license in his home state is expiring, and his house needs a little bit of work. Marie doesn't like to fly, so Herb decides to make this quick trip without her to get those chores done. It's all good. It's one of his attributes. Sometimes there's a need to be alone. Herb packs a small suitcase and boards a plane heading to the East Coast. He arrives on March 1st, 2020. No one could have predicted that days later, the world would go into coronavirus lockdown. Herb can't travel to get to Marie, and Marie can't travel to get to Herb. At first, everything is as fine as it can be. Herb creates a pandemic bubble with his kids. Marie creates one with her kids. Herb and Marie talk on the phone every day. My friend Jen's work is dried up. It's a big financial strain. But the free time allows her to help her dad tackle some of those long put-off projects, like going through her mom's stuff and cleaning out the garage. And like her dad, Jen has repartnered. She met Chris when she's in her early 50s through a cycling group. They're practically neighbors, and they are very happily living apart together. Chris, who's never been married, understands and supports Jen's devotion to family.
11. Speak out as soon as possible about real or perceived problems and not allow anger or frustration to build up. Do not let the sun set on any problem. 12. Opinions and points of view different from one's own are acceptable and will not give rise to the feeling that the other person is non-supportive.
The months tick by. Then in early July, after Jen and her dad return from a road trip to see sister Jessica, Herb has a stroke.
For 2 months, he's in the hospital, in rehab. Afterward, as Jen says, the only option is for him to move in. With home health aid and virtual classes through the Stroke Comeback Center, Herb is progressing well. Jen's brother David arranges his work schedule so that he can make regular trips from out of town to help out. But then, you're not going to believe this, I'm not making it up. A tree comes crashing down on Jen's house. They're all inside. Jen, Herb, Herb's healthcare aide, David. Thankfully, no one is hurt. But the family is displaced while major repairs are made. It's traumatic and stressful. Jen is now juggling insurance claims, contractors, physical therapy appointments for Herb. It becomes more and more difficult for Herb and Marie to communicate. And every time Jen and her siblings start talking about how to get Herb and Marie together, something inevitably arises to thwart the plan. Like April a year ago, Herb falls and breaks a hip. He now needs around-the-clock care. It seems unlikely that he and Marie, who recently turned 100 years old, will ever again see or talk to each other in a meaningful way. And Herb's at the point of his very long life that I remember my dad experiencing a bit of shortly before he died at age 95. Herb's looking back on his years and all the memories. He's expressing some regrets, and he's longing for the companionship and love that he once had in abundance with Marie and before that with Jen's mom, Jerry. As for Herb's list of attributes, my friend Jen already knew instinctively that Chris possesses them. Still, she dusted off her copy so that her brother and sister could take turns reading it aloud at her wedding. After 8 years of dating, Jen and Chris tied the knot. They had a small ceremony for family, and then in October, they repeated their marriage vows during a Quaker worship service. Jen and Chris are still living apart together, but for them, the ultimate expression of their unconditional love is marriage.
13. Most important is the existence of unconditional love. For if this exists, most of the above will be achieved.
13. Most important is the existence of unconditional love. For if this exists, most of the above will be achieved.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dad.
Dating While Grace audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by Dee Peterschmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find the Dating While Gray archive of episodes. You can also find links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. While you're there, sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter delivered every Friday to your inbox. That's datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.